Programming for The Rebus Show is proudly underwritten in part by the Arlington Tomorrow Foundation, contributing to a thriving Arlington, and in part by the Texas Association of Realtors Housing Opportunity Foundation. Funding is also provided by generous donations from listeners like you.
Network here at Globe Life Park, Arlington, Texas, the American Dream City. My name is Leticia Gallegos, President and CEO of the Hispanic Real Estate Brokers Association. Co-hosting with me today
is Sal Villalobos.
Thank you, Sal, again for being here. And we welcome all of you listening to give us a call on our topic. We have a great topic today. We're going to be talking about your income and your expenses. How many of you are happy with your income right now? I would say we're still, I have to remind our listeners that are going to listen later on in podcasts that we're still in the middle of this horrible pandemic. Today is July 28, 2020, and a lot of our families are displaced unemployed, right?
Unemployed, or their hours have been reduced. Mm-hmm. So that's quite...
And when we talk about home ownership is a long-term investment. It's a long-term goal. So when you're preparing to purchase your home, it's not a quick process.
No, it's not.
So we thought it would be important to talk to you today about knowing your income, knowing where it's coming from, knowing your expenses, and knowing where you're spending. Because how many of you have started a budget or tried to and say, forget this, I can't stick to a budget?
Or they're saying, oh, I'll just catch up next month. I'll just put double the amount in the account. Doesn't happen.
Exactly. So it's not natural for us because, you know, just like anything else, when you learn it early, in your life,
right,
it becomes a habit, just like any other habit, right? So if you don't have a budget right now, and we're not going to be really talking about budgeting, we're going to be talking about income sources and how to possibly make more income and reduce your expenses. So the topic today is not really budgeting, it's more of the income and expense portion. But how many of you have tried a budget and you know, just it doesn't work because it's a habit? You have to make it a habit. You have to write everything down. And now, Sal, with debit cards,
easy. Right?
Let's swipe. Now we don't even have to swipe. Now we just tap, right?
Right.
Now we tap the machine and there we go. We're spending.
Or we're at home and we're bored and we see something that pops up on one of our feeds and like, oh, that's a great. And you're not really thinking of the expense. Oh, it's pretty, it's inexpensive. It's at a discount. Well, it's not a discount if you really don't need it. And it's not a discount if you're trying to save for something.
Exactly. And we've had shows. This is not the first time we do a show like this. We've had another show where we talk about our needs and our wants,
right,
which are two different things. So we have a good program for you today. So if you want to join the conversation, have any questions about what we're talking about, give us a call. The number is 214-431-5032. And we'll be happy to answer any questions you have. At the end of the program, we're going to give you some websites, some information where you can look for more information. And we'll also have those on our website. So let's get started. Let's start with income.
Okay.
Okay, Sal. So what is income?
Income is what you earn, either through your job. Income can be money that you earn through investments or rental income. Mm-hmm. So it is something that you earn.
Or receive.
Or receive, right.
Or receive, exactly. So there's different kinds of income, like earned income, income from assets and investments, like you said.
Right.
And public benefits, entitlements that pay money. So some of you may be receiving SSI. All that is income, and you consider it as income. Other benefits and other entitlements, too. And other income, such as gifts, child support, you consider as income, and
right,
alimony. So those are, that is money that you receive, and that's right, what you consider your income. But you usually take home less than you make, right? From working, when you're working.
So just because you earn, say, $10 an hour and you work 40 hours, it doesn't mean that you're going to bring home $400. The reality is you're paying federal tax, state tax in some places, your FICA, medical.
Exactly. Union dues, and we're going to go and we're going to go through those specifically, because how many of you have direct deposit? Right. You have direct deposit. We're going to talk about this more in detail. You have direct deposit. Sometimes you don't even print out your statement. Right. You just get the money because that's your net.
That's what we earned.
That's what you earned. That's what you received. And that's what you go by. But we'll help you be able to read that statement. And I would encourage you all to look at it, because the your boss or the third party company that you're using may not have the information correct.
Right.
And so there might be errors in the deductions.
I just had somebody today. I mean, we're verifying their income. Pay stubs say one thing and their verification says another.
Oh, dear. Yeah. And so, Sal, tell why you are... why you were looking at statements, because
I'm a loan officer, so it's my duty to be diligent and find verify the income that is being presented, because your income is one of the qualifiers if you want to buy a home. So we have to make sure that we qualify you correctly.
So all this comes back to home ownership, and so we prepare you in the show to learn these things so you can be knowledgeable about that. So we have our gross income. Gross means before any deductions.
Right.
And then we have the net income, which is after all the...
what you bring home, and in some cases you can't wait to spend.
Yeah. So if you owe money, your creditors can sometimes directly take portions of your income and assets to cover your debt. What is that called? Those are called garnishments.
Right.
And if you owe the IRS, unfortunately, they can garnish your wages.
That's correct.
Other entities can garnish your wages.
Right. Most times where they're going to garnish, it can be also child support can be garnished from your wages. So any agency, I mean, not any company can come in and just garnish. They have to go through courts, and then the court will then at that point put a judgment. And then usually that's when they're going to start garnishing you.
Exactly. All right. So let's talk about ways we receive money. Okay. I've learned so much in working with tenants and working with people that, you know, that we deal with on a daily basis. Sal, I'm sure you do too, about the different ways that they receive their money. I was shocked, because I guess I'm old school. You either get a check in your hand, or you get a direct deposit into your bank account. Now we're seeing employers putting paychecks in a card.
Pay card, right.
In a pay card. I mean, it's not totally new to me, but I see it more and more.
I see Dulce on TV always talking about her pay card.
Dulce
is, it's a commercial for something similar where they're promoting the pay cards, which I think is dangerous. Because you're not really looking at your statements or anything. You're just getting that money.
Oh, gosh. Yeah. So you can receive income cash. You can receive it in a paper check.
Right.
By direct deposit.
Right. Social Security now requires you to have a direct deposit, where before they would send you a check at the beginning of the month. Mm-hmm. So even the government's getting in on that.
Yeah. And also, like I said, the payroll card. So, and not only is that for income, but a lot of people are using those to transact business. Like, for example, the Cash App and Venmo, and those services are from larger services like PayPal, and you know, so they make it more convenient for people to transact business with cards.
But what usually happens with more convenience is there's more charges. So that's something that you always have to look for
To this point, they're free.
Right.
Eventually, they may be...
just like ATMs were at one time. I got hooked on the ATMs. I was always there, and I ended up paying a ton before in fees, withdrawal fees, because originally they were free. Mm-hmm. So Just like right now, some of the virtual stream or the streaming services are free. Eventually, they're going to go to pay. They want to get you accustomed to using those services.
Gosh. And there's also something called electronic benefits transfer, EBT. So those are ways, and a lot, what I was going to say earlier is that a lot of persons are not, are unbanked or semi-banked. They may have a bank account, which is totally online, but then they have these other cards, right, services that they use.
Right. And some people, being that I used to work in the financial sector in a bank as a banker, you have some people that are unbankable, meaning they cannot open a regular bank account. They can't have a savings. They can't have a checking. They may have had some issues in the past. Mm-hmm. But some of your larger banks have accounts specially designated for people under those situations where they may not be able to get a regular checking or savings account, but they may get a somewhat of a checking account where they cannot overdraft. And after they've proven themselves, they can convert that over to a regular checking account. So it's a way to grow into financial responsibility.
And I think, Sal, that our goal in this show is to provide enough information to people where they take responsibility and really, really look at your financial situation. And if you correct situations like that where you're not eligible to open a checking account, find out. I think in shows before, we've talked about if it's not there, you know, if I don't talk about it, if I don't see it, it doesn't exist,
kind of
thing.
Out of mind.
Out of sight, out of mind. And so we want to break that. Right. We want to break that habit in you so that you can take responsibility. It may have happened 10 years ago that you had a checking account that you overdrew,
right,
and you just forgot about it. The bank closed your account and you never heard from them again, and you think it's still there. And it may still be there, but it may not be that much to where you can't correct it. It's
correct.
Important that you correct your quote sins of the past when
right.
it comes to financial situations.
And you also need to understand that, let's say it is $100, $200. How much have you paid over the last 5 to 10 years mm-hmm. in cashing that check? You're giving a percentage of that check.
Exactly.
And then if you have to go buy a cashier's check because your landlord will not take cash,
mm-hmm.
or what if, you know, whatever you need, the amount of money that you're spending just because it's not all at one time,
mm-hmm.
you know, look at everything, get over the past year or two, get your receipts, or not year, maybe month, and you'll be surprised how much of your gross income
mm-hmm.
that or your net income that you've already reduced from your gross, how much more you're reducing it with unnecessary fees.
Exactly. And that's not even to mention, if you ever want to build a business, you have to have a relationship with your bank.
Correct.
And so having a bank account has a lot more benefits. So we're going to take a quick break. When we come back from the break, we're going to talk about understanding your pay statements. Remember earlier I said you probably don't even look at them. You probably don't even print them out. But
you don't get them anymore.
you get them. You just don't open them. So anyway, we're going to talk about understanding your tax statements when we come back. Stay tuned.
Take a break.
programming for The Reba Show is proudly underwritten in part by the Arlington Tomorrow Foundation, contributing to a thriving Arlington, and in part by the Texas Association of Realtors Housing Opportunity Foundation. Funding is also provided by generous donations from listeners like you.
Ownership, hear it from the experts. Coming to you live from Fishbowl Radio Network at Globe Life Park, Arlington, Texas, the American Dream City. My name's Leticia Gallegos. Co-hosting with me today is
Michelle Villalobos.
Thank you. And so today we're talking about your income and expenses. If you just tuned in, we're going to continue our conversation. We're going to talk about understanding your pay statements when it comes to your income.
Right.
From an employer, for example. If you'd like to join the conversation, don't hesitate. We'll be happy to answer any questions you have. The number is 214-431-5032, and we'll be happy to take your calls. So, Sal, understanding our pay statements.
Right.
So we had mentioned earlier that a lot of us, when we get a paycheck direct deposited,
right,
we don't even, because nowadays with the third-party payroll systems that
right.
there are, you can go to their website, print your statement. You actually, you know, because we're going green, they don't send them to you.
Exactly.
So I know there's a lot of you out there, listeners, that don't even open it to look at it. You get your check in the mail, in the direct deposit. That's what you earned. That's what you received.
That's what you received, right.
And that's what you're going to spend. So reading your pay statement helps you monitor for accuracy, because we talked about the, you know, that it may not be accurate.
Exactly.
There may be a garnishment.
There might be a garnishment, or, and in some cases, I know we don't like to talk negative, but in some cases, the employer may not be paying you your just dues, as is a case with another, one of my clients. Mm-hmm. After reviewing their documents, they provided the pay stubs to me, and I started going over, and it wasn't matching to what they thought they should be earning, because they don't look at their earning statement. What they do is just, this is what I received. That must be taxes. That must be insurance. That must be what it is.
Mm-hmm.
And after we reviewed it, they were being shorted quite a bit and being charged things that had nothing to do with. So you need to be very vigilant with your documents.
Yeah, there are errors that are made. You mentioned insurance. And that's true. If the insurance premium goes up and your employer doesn't tell you that it's going up, they'll raise it anyway and take
right.
it out of your paycheck.
Exactly.
Because they have the authority to do that. So a pay statement can be called several things.
Right.
It can be called an earning statement.
An earning statement. If you're in the military, an LES.
Mm-hmm.
Pay stubs. Right? So a slip, pay advice. I mean, you name it. I mean,
yeah.
The company or the payroll company that's issuing that can call it different things, or the agency or the type of business you're in. They have, like I said, like in the military, it's an LES, mm-hmm. leave an earning statement.
Okay. So what's on the statement? For example, there's your personal information
that's
on there.
That's correct.
And thank goodness now they don't put the whole Social Security number on there like they used to look
right.
back. The pay period, when
right.
it starts, when it stops.
Right. Because there's different ways that you get paid. You can be paid weekly. You can be paid bimonthly, like twice a month.
Mm-hmm.
And then, bimonthly, twice a month, or biweekly, every 2 weeks. Or in some cases, you only get paid once a month.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so when you're talking about bimonthly, you're saying like the 1st and the 15th, or
right.
the 15th and the 30th,
right.
that kind of thing.
And then biweekly means that you're going to get a check every 2 weeks, where in some cases, usually the third month of every third quarter, the end of the quarter, which has 31 days, usually you're going to get three pay stubs during that period. So.
Okay.
So 26
right.
pay periods.
So it has the gross pay on it. It has your deductions, your net pay, your employer contributions.
Well, isn't the contribution what they pay you for your earnings, or is, you know, what is a contribution?
Well, it you know, when you're paying taxes,
right.
the employer has to pay the same tax.
Right.
And so that's what it shows,
right.
well, how much your employer paid for
right.
for that portion.
Right. And also if they're matching your 401k, things
mm-hmm.
of that nature.
Mm-hmm. And any time off, vacation, sick leave, it accumulates on some statements and shows you. And that's another reason to look at it, right? How many days do I have on sick leave?
Or hours. In some cases, I've seen hours on the statements.
Exactly.
So when an underwriter's reviewing what you've earned for the year, and they're going to match it with the hours that you've worked, they better match.
Yeah, and then there's deductions. Your Social Security, your Medicare, federal income taxes, and your insurance premium, as we mentioned.
Right.
Any union dues, if you belong to a union, charitable contributions, maybe a United Way contribution that's taken out of your paycheck, and any savings account that you may have allocated.
Well, sometimes you have your payroll split into one, two, three different accounts. So it's not that you're not spending it, you're not paying somebody, you're just allocating part of those funds into a savings account, which I think is a smart way of going. Out of sight, out of mind, right? You don't touch it.
Exactly.
So
that's a habit we were talking about earlier. Okay, so income tax withholding. Let's talk about income tax withholding, because it's really important to understand the difference, Sal, between a W-4 and a W-2.
Right.
And that can be confusing. So a W-4 is what you fill out when you're starting a job or when you want to change your deductions.
Right.
Okay. So your employer will likely give you this form, and it'll have your personal exemptions for tax withholding, any additional withholding that you want to take. So fewer personal exemption means a higher amount will be withheld for taxes. And more personal exemption means a lower amount will be held for taxes.
So if you are deducting, or you're putting four dependents, I guess, they're going to take that much less from your pay. But come tax time, that may mean that you're paying more, or you'll have to pay because you took larger deductions. Now, if you have a family of five and you're only taking one dependent, that means they're taking more up front. And in some cases, that means you may get a little bit more money as a refund, or you may not have to owe. So it's just, you need to talk to your tax advisor to see which way is the best way for you and your family.
I guess what you're saying is be careful not to have too little withheld and maybe too much.
Right.
Exactly. So you can view the form W-4 at irs.gov. If you want to take a look at it, it may have been a while since you filled one out, and it may be that you'll be filling one out in the near future, and you want to be aware. So that's really important. Okay, so what's the difference? Okay, so let's look at the W-2.
Okay.
Now, the W-2, your employer is required to provide you a W-2 by January 31 for the prior year.
Correct.
Okay. So what's included in the W-2?
W-2 is how much you've earned for the year, how much they've taken out for insurances. They'll call it cafeteria, like your insurance, if your employer pays a portion of it, or if you're paying it with your employer, they're going to show the amount that comes out of that. It's going to have your Social Security number. It's also going to have your name, of course, the employer's name, what they took out for taxes, what they took out for insurance, if you have certain contributions, like a bonus, non-employee compensation, other compensations, or how you've been paid throughout the year, because you need to report what you've earned in its totality, and then also if you if your employer has paid your taxes or the taxes that were due from your employment. Because that's the whole reason for the net, the gross and net income. That's why it's important to know, because you want to make sure that what you were taking out throughout the year matches your W-2. So that's another way of double checking.
And we're not trying to to put up a red flag or anything, because on your pay statement, we just want you to look at your pay statement, every paycheck, because it'll have for this pay period, and it'll have year to date.
Right.
So your year to date should match your W-2.
Exactly.
And that's where you see
at the end of the year.
At the end of the year. Right. So you don't want to get to the end of the year and find any discrepancies.
Right, right.
So you want to be sure and check that. So that is a W-2 when you're employed by an employer.
Correct.
That pays you an hourly wage. Then you may have what's called a 1099 if you're self-employed.
Self-employed or you're a contractor?
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
You might also get a 1099-G, which is from the government, or a 1099-C, but these are not regular incomes. These are one-time events.
Distributions,
right?
Yeah. All right, great. So we've gone through the income part. Who wants to discuss the expenses part? Are we ready? So let's talk expenses, because at the beginning of the show, we told you that we were going to be talking about your income and your expenses. Uh-oh. And how we can better understand all that. So the key takeaway for expenses is that understand your expenses. That will help you decide how to save, how to share your money, and how to spend your income. So let's talk about this. So ways to use your money. There's three ways to use your money, Sal.
Save it,
mm-hmm.
share it.
Mm-hmm.
I'm here if you want to share it. And spending it.
Okay. And so you can think about your expenses in three different ways, too.
Right. Your needs, uh-huh. your wants, and your obligations.
Exactly.
So you always put your wants last. I might have said it in the middle, but you want your wants last.
Yeah. And we've talked on this show about wants and needs in the past. So, you know, it is what it is. Habits, we're trying to develop habits when we talk about our income and our expenses.
Right.
Out of mind, out of sight, out of not mind. And right. you don't want to walk through life not knowing exactly.
Right.
We see that in income and expenses. We see that with our credit reports.
Right.
And so this is really information.
And it's so easy. In the past, you would have, well, I'm only going to go out with $50 and that's all I'm going to spend. Or I'm going to only try to spend half of it. But most of the time, you'd spend the amount.
Mm-hmm.
But that was it. Once you spent your 50, you were out of money. Now we have the debit card. We have the credit card. We have, you know, Quick Pay Me or Zelle. I'll pay you tomorrow. Mm-hmm. You need to be careful because you need to set your limits. And at that point, you can spend more than you really wanted to. And I've been guilty of that.
I think all of us listening are guilty of that. And they say, okay, I'm going to go out and have a good time. Well, not during this time,
right.
But we're going to have a good time and we'll deal with it later.
Right.
And that's not that doesn't get us to where we want to be. So, we encourage you to get a monthly expense log. Log down what your expenses are that you know that are recurring that you're going to have
right.
every month. And we talked about sharing, how much you're going to share.
Contributions or charitable contributions.
Mm-hmm.
Your church, yeah. you know, United Way, just to name one, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Different foundations need help now, especially now that, you know, they're not getting the support from other organizations. You know, food banks. I mean, these are things that we need to know because eventually, or hopefully not, but people get into a certain situation, it's always nice to have somebody to be able to help.
Exactly. But we need to remember that there's a lot of need out there. But one of the most important needs is yourself.
Right.
So an emergency fund. If you would have had an emergency fund of 6 to 12 months in your bank account on February 29th, how would you feel today? Would you feel a little more secure, maybe a little more confident? So saving for emergencies, and this COVID-19 is an emergency financially
right.
for a lot of people. So, you know, we throw out the words emergency fund so much that, you know, sometimes it doesn't stick. And it's really important to be in a position, position yourself to where you can, if an emergency hits, you can survive
right.
it and you can
ride the storm.
Ride the storm. Exactly.
So sometimes people cannot, I don't make enough to have a emergency fund. I don't, you know, it's only for people that make $100,000 or more that can do so. It's not necessarily true. I've seen a lot. It's just on how you manage your accounts. There's people that make far less, and they have that 6-month, 1-year emergency fund than somebody that makes the $100,000, $150,000. It's just managing your accounts the right way.
We're not talking about a lot of money. Right. We're talking about start with $25. Start with $10, right, a paycheck. Put that aside and put it in an account that you will not touch.
Right.
That you tell yourself, again, the habit of saying, this goes in before I pay my bills. And this is going to stay there and it's going to accumulate.
Right.
And it's well worth it. So when we're talking about a monthly expense log, we want you to group things into categories. So it'll make it easier for you to decide when you want to make changes. So like you talked about, savings, sharing, put them in that type of category.
Right.
Right.
So the other thing I would like to bring up is look at your bank statement. If you look at your expenses and your deposits. But pay more attention to your expenses. Categorize them by food. Categorize them by entertainment. Categorize them by, you know, I'm not talking food by as groceries, but even then. But you'll be surprised how much you're spending a month without realizing it, because it's only $2 here, $3 there. You
and
know.
I'm sure you've seen that in expense accounts that you've seen.
Not
for
often, but of course, all the time.
So give us some examples of what you see, Sal.
So I see, especially within the younger communities or buyers, I see that they have different gaming systems, memberships. They have, what else? They're going out to eat quite a bit. You know, we're not saying to limit yourself from everything, but limit yourself from everything.
Limit it to your budget, to your income.
Right.
That's all.
Exactly. I mean, you know, every paycheck, get a little bit, put it away. Mm-hmm. Every paycheck, put it away. You'll be surprised. Have a, you know, have your fund off to the side, but a percentage of your income. Don't, I mean, I've seen people deposit $4,000 a month, but the running balance every month is about $500. Mm-hmm. And it's not that it's going into a savings. It's that it's going out to dinner every weekend, starting on Thursday, not right now, but I'm seeing a lot of Amazon purchases, a lot of different companies. It's they're replacing one habit. Well, it's the same habit. They're just replacing where they're spending the money now that we're during this pandemic. So instead of going out and spending it, they're just spending it online. Mm-hmm. You know, I see a lot of trucks around my neighborhood. I mean, constantly just dropping off packages. So we need to be careful with that.
And all that is great, Sal, as long as you're saving for an emergency.
Right.
So if you're paying yourself first and putting money in a savings account first, and then you can do the purchases that you want.
Right.
First you do your needs.
Right.
And then you can do what you want.
Up to a point.
Up to a point.
Right. Because, it's on sale. Let me get it because it's 20% off. A sale is not a sale if you don't need it. If it's just a want, you need to see how many wants you satisfied this month and how much of the needs you really took care of and how much is left over at the end of the day. Because sometimes you'll see that your wants outpaced your needs and your obligations, unfortunately, in some cases. I had a gentleman telling me, can I still qualify for a house? I paid off my house on time. I just didn't make my other mortgage, my other obligations. I just still owe and I haven't paid on those. You can't choose which ones you want to pay. If it's a matter of need that you have to choose one or the other, yes, you pay your mortgage. But this wasn't the case. It was just financial mismanagement. Be smart. Save your money. Allocate your funds correctly.
Okay, so I'm going to go through this list like really fast.
All right, because I talk too much.
What I want to do is I want to jog the memory
right.
of our listeners.
Of course.
Okay. I want to jog your memory so you can hear the words of expenses that you may have, your spending. So let's start. Let's go really quick.
I don't want to hear them.
Rent, mortgage payment, property taxes, insurance, water, electric, gas, trash collection, telephone, internet, cable, car truck, car insurance, car fuel, car maintenance, public transportation, health insurance, student loan payments, credit card debt payments, other debt payments, personal care attendant, elderly care, child care, groceries, eating out or takeout,
child support,
service animal expenses, pet care, personal expenses, entertainment, and other. That's a lot of expenses.
And your streaming services that they don't show here.
And until you write it down and realize it, you'll be struggling. You'll steal from from Peter to pay Paul. Exactly. Right. So that's
it's not in the Bible, though.
That's really important stuff. So we're going to take the last few minutes to talk a little bit about managing it. Okay. So we're going to take should we take a break?
I'm good.
I'm good too. Let's manage our expenses, people. So let's help avoid these things. Okay. So let's help avoid late fees.
Right.
How many of us have been drowning in late fees when we're in a situation where like we're in now, like you may have lost your job. Those are emergencies.
Those are legitimate reasons.
Legitimate reasons, and we are not talking about those situations where those are catastrophic. Right. We're talking about normal, ordinary days when you are employed and you're preparing to purchase your home.
Right.
Because that's the bottom line with this show, is that we are trying to bring this information to you so you can have tools that you'll need to prepare to purchase your home.
Now, is a legitimate reason, well, I'm going to go out to dinner with my friends and I want to have enough money, or I'm going to go on a trip with my friends and I want to have enough money. I'll just not make these payments on time this month. And if I haven't, I can handle the late payments later. That's not a legitimate reason.
No, that's not.
Yeah. So, okay. I mean, these are things that you need to consider. And, I mean, these are true life how people sometimes think. Yeah. I mean, I was young, and that's the way I thought when I was, like, 18, 19 years old.
And we're not bashing young people because older people do the same.
Well, us older were younger at one time, so.
Interest on unpaid balances. Pay off credit card debt. That's really important. Negative credit report entries. Those are, you have to manage that. Loss of services, any additional charges associated with loss of services.
Right.
Okay. So there's a lot of ways that you can pay your bill, especially now. You can do remotely. You can do electronic paying your bills. There's really not an excuse anymore.
If you're your bank, you can actually schedule. You don't have to have the creditor come into your account and take and retrieve the money as they need or as you scheduled it with them. You can actually control your own monthly payments. You can set it up. There's a lot of great online banking systems out there through your bank that you can schedule at no charge. You can schedule these payments to go out. In some cases, it will be electronic the day that it's due. In other cases, they'll send it out beforehand. Mm-hmm. And the beautiful thing about that, in some cases, if the payment gets there late, that institution is absorbing that late payment.
Oh, that's good to know.
Yeah. So talk to your bankers, see exactly what they have to offer you. Don't let other institutions come in or other creditors come into your accounts, because errors do happen.
Mm-hmm.
You control to start managing your money correctly, don't let other people manage your money. Manage your own funds and how to pay for them. Pay for your expenses. You have a mortgage payment, you have a rent payment, schedule it. It's going to go out.
And you can do it old school, too. You can get yourself a calendar, put it on your wall, write down when the payment's due.
Right.
Or you can use your phone. I mean, you're smiling at me because you know that I do old school stuff. But I'm starting to use my calendar on my phone a lot more.
Right.
And so that keeps it all in. If you don't have the ability to automate your recurring bills, payments, you can do it on your phone. You can do it on your calendar, whatever it takes for you to get it.
I have
right.
clients that when we're talking about building their credit, I said every, if you don't have it, don't spend it. But I want you using your credit card to pay for your gas, and then every 2 weeks, on your phone, you have the alert saying pay it off. Mm-hmm. And every 2 weeks, you're just paying off your debt, your credit card, your groceries. I'm not talking about going out to the store and buying a suit or a dress or some shoes. I'm talking about everyday living expenses. Mm-hmm. But every 2 weeks, that alarm is sounding off and you're paying that balance in its entirety.
Yeah.
So that's a good way to manage your money and increase or create more of a stable, good credit history. Mm-hmm. But the thing is, if the alarm goes off, you have to pay it. You can't say, I'll follow it next week.
Yeah, that defeats the purpose, right? Okay, so to summarize, let me give you some information on where you can go to get more help. So you can visit, all of these links will be on our website, which is rebaconnect.org under important links, and it's rebaconnect.org. You can visit mymoney.gov for additional resources on income and expenses. For more information about public benefits and eligibility requirements, you can visit www.benefits.gov, and you can use a confidential eligibility tool there at that site to see if you qualify for some federally funded programs. You may also want to explore eligibility of other benefits, such as VA benefits and things like that, from your employer as well. Using a local workforce development program, you can go to www.careeronestop.org to find workforce development programs. You may be eligible for various tax credits, so don't hesitate to go to www.irs.gov and see what kind of tax credits there are out there. And help with your energy bills. For assistance in your state and community, you can visit HTTPS and then go to LIHEAPCH.ACF.HHS.gov/help. And again, we'll have all this on our website.
WXYZ.
I know you couldn't write fast enough, and I probably goofed that one up, but we will have this information. And just remember, in your community, in many communities, we are in Arlington, Texas, Tarrant County. In our community, you can call 211 to find helpful local resources, such as childcare, food, clothing banks, and healthcare. So don't hesitate to dial 211 when you're in need. And it is out there. The assistance is out there for you.
Leticia, now, if somebody wants to learn about financial literacy, who would they reach out to? I mean, in their communities, do they go to their bank and do that? Or do they reach out to a nonprofit, such as... I don't know.
We are available to bring one-on-one coaching. So we are a nonprofit. You've been listening. Thanks, Sal, for the intro here.
Right.
You can call us or email us rebashow@rebaconnect.org. You've been listening to the Reba Show. Homeownership, hear it from the experts at Fishbowl Radio Network. And we've been streaming live on Facebook. You can watch the replay of the video on Facebook, and we'll also have a podcast on our website, rebaconnect.org. And we have brought you some information today to help you. And if you have any questions whatsoever, please email us. Our email is rebashow@rebaconnect.org.
And that's H-R-E-B-A.
Exactly, H-R-E-B-A. All right, so thank you, Sal, for being here. We have had some great information. And don't hesitate to contact us, listener, if you have a specific question through email. So... we're going to sign off now. We thank you all for listening. Everybody have a great afternoon.